Well, good evening, dear brothers and sisters. Still carrying on with this Tuesday night talk. And it should not be surprising to you that my burden is still on the matter of prayer. Sometimes even I ask myself, man, are you obsessed with this topic or you just couldn't get out of it? Maybe you should make a break or do something else. The saints getting tired of this whole thing. Well, in a way, I sort of think that is a reasonable thinking. But brothers, for me to be someone who serves the saints with the word of God, I cannot but speak what the Lord put in my mouth, you know, what the Lord put in my spirit, not just a matter of how long, how short, until that burden is discharged, I have no recourse. I have no choice. So I hope you don't mind. Now, tonight, I'd like to spend some time with you to talk about the incense. We talk about the golden incense altar. We talk about the ark. We talk about many things. And actually, I'm not done myself even studying. Definitely, I'm not experienced all the things yet. But tonight, I want to talk about the incense because what do you do at the golden altar? You know, it's not just sitting there. It's a place where you offer up or you burn incense. Then the incense, when it's burned, it's kind of like some smoke or something, right? And over and over again, especially if you read the book Exodus and some other places, you'll find this word that says the fragrant incense. The fragrant. The King James maybe call it sweet smelling, but anyway, something most fragrant. You know, we have all these things, you know, perfume or some kind of deodorant or whatever, things to, I have a little machine in my house that keep pumping out something nicer smelling to cover the odor or something not so pleasant, the musty, you know what I mean? So I felt that little machine is a wonderful investment, not very expensive, but when it's working, I find that those smell, fragrant smell, calms me, you know? It makes me pleasant. It's very, calms my nerves. It's very strange that smell and fragrance can do a lot of things to your brain and to your emotions. Anyway, and this incense is burned, of course, as smoke ascend upward. So this incense is not for the priest or for the offerer of this incense. It is to ascend for what? To God, for God to smell, for God to enjoy, to calm God down, to make God pleasant and satisfied. So tonight I'd like to talk something about this incense. Now, I don't have time to get into the typology or the interpretation that you can go to Exodus chapter 30, and there's a 3, 4, 5 verses on the after the holy anointing oil on this fragrant incense. And really, we'll go through all the spices. You know, they burn the spices, and this incense is a mixture of those spices. You know, it's called stachy, it's called onycha, and galbanum. Whatever they all means, added to it frankincense. And you will find out what these things are. But let me just briefly very briefly say in a moment. So we have a few things here, okay, pertaining to this golden altar. Number one, the altar, the golden altar, of course. Okay. Number two, you have this incense, right? The incense. And there's a number three thing, the burning of the incense. There are three things here, the burning of the incense. Now let's see what these things are. Number one, what is this golden incense altar? Well, we all should know by now, this is the praying Christ, the Christ, the interceding Christ. You may think only Christ is only praying after he ascended to the heavens. No, let me tell you, when he was on the earth for those 3.5 years, ministering, carrying out his earthly ministry, he was a man of prayer. He was praying then already, mainly for the house of Israel, right? And for his disciples, and for, you know, one time, you know, he prophesied that Peter is going to deny him and fail. But he said, Peter, I have prayed for you, that your faith would not fail. So after this, you go and strengthen the faith of your brothers. So the Lord has prayed secretly for his disciple, Peter. So the Lord actually, whether it's recorded or not, has been an interceding Christ on the earth. And all the way even before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, and even on the cross, he was praying. Remember him praying? Father, forgive them. What a prayer it was. What an intercession was that. My goodness. But then after he resurrected and after he ascended these 2,000 years, he has been, of course, praying even more in God's presence at God's right hand for you, for me, for the environment, for his elect, for everything, interceding. And so this incense altar portrays or signifies this praying Christ. But it is not just this praying Christ. Number one, this praying Christ today, what I mean is, it's not just that individual praying Christ. It is now the body Christ, the corporate praying Christ that includes you and me, the members of his body. So today, we have the privilege and the blessing to be part of this praying Christ if we are united with him, if we are truly mingled with him, if we are truly one with him. So therefore, this golden incense altar does not only signify the praying person, Christ, with his members, but this also signifies the praying life, the praying life, a life of prayer. So when it comes to prayer, we are not that burdened about an activity or an event or something formal, you know, as a kind of a formality. We are interested in a life of prayer. First, we need to be the persons of prayer. Then we need to live a life of prayer. That's the Christian life. That's the proper, normal Christian life. So today, this is the first thing when it comes to prayer we need to realize, that only when we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ, only when we're in this organic union, right, then we are part of this incense altar where prayers are offered, the prayers of the saints are offered. Actually, those are actually the prayers of the Christ. But not only so, this piece of furniture is there permanently. So this piece of furniture is what is a life of prayer, an existence of prayer. We live to pray, brothers and sisters. It's like breathing, inhaling and exhaling. It shouldn't be only when we kneel down or merely only at a certain time. Of course, we need a set time for prayer. But I'm talking about we need to live firstly a life of prayer, a life that conditions us and positions us to offer the effectual prayer, right? So we need to live that life, a holy life, lifting up holy hands. Remember that? Praying everywhere. If you don't live a holy life and then you try to pray, that's a hypocrisy, and that will not work, number one. Number two, we need the incense. The incense. What is the incense? The incense is also Christ. What Christ? This is the this includes the death of Christ. You know, all these first three spices are all referring to the death of Christ in its various aspects, in its redeeming aspect, in its generating aspect, and in its Satan terminating or defeating or expelling aspect. You see, those are the three things Christ accomplished on the cross, his all-inclusive death. And these three spices typify these three aspects of the death of Christ in its power, in its sweetness, all right? In its for redemption, for regeneration, and for the dealing with Satan. You know, one of these spices is actually a very pungent smell, very offensive odor, one of these. But it's mingled in there eventually, composing a very sweet fragrance when it's burned. But added to it is frankincense, the fourth element. Frankincense, no doubt, typifies the Lord's resurrection. The Lord's resurrection. So what is this incense? This incense is simply the God-man Jesus, the one who is the mingling of humanity with divinity, this complete God and perfect man, with all that he has accomplished on the cross and even beyond that in his resurrection. And we can add even in his ascension, even in his ascension. And so this incense also refer to the various virtues of Christ. Now, what does all this mean experientially? That means if we are going to burn this incense and use this incense and offer this incense, we need to have these spices. We need to have these the experiences of such a Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? If you do not experience this Christ in all these aspects, and I believe we all do, right? Repeatedly, right? Again and again, his death and his resurrection. You know, Paul says that I may know his resurrection, that I may be what? Conformed to his death. All that means is Paul was experiencing this incense in his life. And that's why Paul was an intercessor. He lived that life and he enjoyed this Christ as the incense. Now, the third thing is, and this incense, by the way, when offered only for God, you know, there is a place after the making of the incense that there's a warning that you cannot make your own yourself some incense according to your own composition. This man, if he does it, will be cut off. If you smell it, then you will be cut off. This is serious business. Because this incense, this fragrant incense, is uniquely for God to smell, for God to take delight in, for God to enjoy. This is a big point. You know, when we pray this, we pray that. I know there are many things we intercede for and pray for that is necessary for God's administration to be executed, for the dispensing of the grace from his throne, am I right? For the saints, for the churches, for the Lord's move, on and on, many things, for even unbelievers, many things we intercede. But all this prayer that we pray, if it's a prayer with incense added to it, then this prayer, only this prayer, would smell good to God. That means would be acceptable to God. So without this incense, the prayers of the saints are not acceptable. It's only by adding this incense to the prayer, adding this Christ to the prayer, that makes this prayer acceptable to God. That means it makes it delightful to God, enjoyable to God, satisfying to God, and therefore that prayer will be answered. You see this? So our prayer actually must be what? Must have the element of Christ. So brotherly, we say these things. We need to pray with Christ. We need to pray in Christ. All this means that, in fact, he eventually say we need to pray Christ, if you know what that means. That means our praying is altogether Christ. Even our prayers are mingled with Christ, has the element of Christ, which makes our prayer, whatever we pray for, you pray for certain persons or situation or things, eventually that, whether God will accept it, is depends whether it's fragrant or not. You can pray up a storm, but your prayer stinks to God. Sorry, your prayer has no fragrance to it, no Christ in it. It's just you praying. You see, you praying. So that prayer would not be acceptable. The third thing is the action of burning the incense, the action of offering the incense. What is that? That is actually the prayer action itself. Okay? So so burning the incense, you know, whenever the priest would light the lamps, he always have to burn the incense twice a day, right? Morning and evening. When he trims the lamp, he burned the incense. So night and day, he would be what? He would be offering this incense. In fulfillment, this means night and day, we would pray. So the actual burning of the incense is our prayer action, our actual prayer. So you have in Luke, you know, the people were praying at the hour of the burning of the incense, and Zechariah was in there, right, at the and the angel appeared on the right side of the incense altar. So when Zechariah was functioning as a priest, was burning the incense, the people were praying, signifying again that prayer, and there's a number of other verses in Psalms and here and there that tells us that the burning of the incense is the offering of our prayer. That's so when we pray, brothers and sisters, we are actually burning, offering Christ to God through our prayer, in our prayer. Apparently, I'm praying for a brother, or I'm praying for this church. Apparently, and that is led by the Lord, that is the Lord's burden. But actually, I'm offering Christ to God. I hope you follow me. You are actually offering. Because if not, that prayer, or no matter how sincere or earnest it is, would not be so acceptable to God. So never forget to add Christ to your prayer. Now, when it talks about the burning, it obviously refers to the fire. Am I right? We need fire to burn. So it is very important that that fire has the right source, that that fire is not strange fire. You know, Nadman Abihu, the strange fire. That means some fire that is just out of your, from a natural source, with a natural burden, with a natural zeal, with a natural utterance even, with a natural, with the natural man in it. That's strange to God. Strange to God. So when we pray, the key thing is we must deny all the strange fire in our being. We need fire, but fire of another source, and that is God himself as the fire, as the energy, as the motivator and the strength of our prayer, of our offering up of when we burn this incense. I feel, brothers and sisters, just even that this little speaking should give us a very 360 all-round simple picture of what a proper prayer is. I hope even just this little speaking, you would improve your prayer. You would check. You know, we're being school right now, right? You would check and you would learn. Oh, that prayer I forgot about, even Christ is part of this. It's just me praying something. Then you adjust yourself the next time, right? Or in that prayer, there's still something just natural. I pray for so-and-so because he or she asked me to pray. You know, the hardest thing is when the saints come and say, please pray for me. I don't know what to say. If I say no, they'll say, you don't care. If I say yes, that is a little political. Actually, the thing is, I accept the saints' requests and so on, but I cannot promise them. I can only pray as the Spirit would lead me to pray. The Spirit must be my source, must be my fire, right, to pray. And sometimes, even in the prayer meetings and prayer times, I see some young saints just praying in a very natural way. Sorry. The utterances are natural. The source is natural. The strength of prayer is natural. And I pray a lot of those prayers when I was younger, maybe even still some today. So we need the cross. You know, that's why in the spices, there's also the element of the salt, to kill and to preserve. So we still need the cross when we pray to deal with our flesh. And I talked to some brothers about the veil, right? That is between the incense altar and the ark. That veil is the flesh. You see, the flesh of Christ that was torn for that ark and the incense altar to be sort of really next to each other, merged together, right? I said functionally, these two furniture are special, has a special functional relationship. So we need the cross to deal with these things. So young people, you need to keep learning. Even when you come to pray, you need to deny yourself. You need to repudiate your flesh, the flesh's desire, the flesh's opinion. A lot of prayers are just fleshly opinion, sorry to say. A lot of prayers are just unfiltered by the cross, unfiltered human wishes, with a good heart, with a good intention, even with some kind of so-called burden, but it has not passed through the cross. And therefore, there's still a fleshly element, and that would not be the proper fire, huh? to burn this incense in our offering our prayer. Now, in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 8, talking about, you know, chapter 5 talking about the angelic elders, and then on chapter 8, another angel, that is Christ, it always says that, you know, in the first case, it is the bowls, the golden bowls, are the prayers of the saints. The prayer is not, it's not the incense. It is the bowls of the saints, right? But it is filled with incense, and it is, and the incense is arising. So there is a kind of a mingling of the saints' prayer with the Christ, with the fragrant Christ. And then, of course, the angel there in chapter 8 also, it says they offer up the incense and taking fire from the altar to offer up the incense with the prayers of the saints. So the incense is not the prayers of the saints. It is Christ. But it is mingled, added to, you see, the prayers of the saints, making those prayers of the saints fragrant to God's smell. So here it says a lovely, lovely footnote based on a life study in Exodus 30, you know, talking about the incense. Let me just read it to you. The incense is our going to God with Christ and as Christ, not just with Christ, even as Christ, in prayer for God's enjoyment. This kind of prayer simultaneously satisfies God with a sweet fragrance and carries out God's economy, God's administration. Now, heretofore, we have been paying a lot of attention to the prayer executing, carrying out God's purpose, God's will, God's economy. And that is absolutely true. Okay, that is absolutely true. But tonight I want to stress another aspect, and that is while these prayers may be accomplishing that, there's another very, very important aspect signified, typified by the incense, rising incense, and that is prayer is for God's satisfaction. When Christ prays, God is satisfied. Because his prayer is one with God, his prayer was for God's pleasure, his prayer was to carry out God's will and heart's desire, and what will make God happy, happier? What will make God feel good than this, than a man praying in this way? Just totally one with his heart. You know, like Abraham, am I right? Abraham's prayer, Moses' prayer, just touches God. Those prayers are actually fragrant and acceptable to God. Now, let me say this, this one lastly. Okay, this is Exodus 30, verse 7. Footnote 1, burning the incense typifies praying. The incense typifies the resurrected and ascended Christ, including the resurrected Christ, of course. Hence, to burn the incense is to pray Christ, to pray in Christ and with Christ as the incense. Never should we pray anymore an incenseless prayer. This kind of prayer is intercessory prayer, not prayer for ourselves, but prayer for the carrying out of the divine administration, of course, for the dispensing of God's supplying grace, of course, and for the churches and for the saints. That's what we pray for a lot. Such prayer is a fragrant incense to God. It fulfills its purpose, satisfies its desire, and delights his heart. I just love this. I love this. No wonder after a certain session of prayer where we touch all these realities, after the prayer, we feel fulfilled. You can't explain it. We feel satisfied. Why? Because the God in us, the God above, is himself pleased pleased and satisfied by what he smelled. He smelled Christ, but along with that are the prayers of the saints. So as he smells Christ and enjoys Christ, he is also receiving, inhaling, if you will, God, you know, our prayers, our asking, our petition, our intercession, our supplication for this and for that. Don't you believe God will answer those prayers? Don't you believe God will accept those petitions and supplications? So I hope this little short fellowship tonight would be helpful to us in our practice and further experience of prayer, of the our service ministry at the Golden Incense Altar. I'm done tonight. I'm not running out of time. Actually, I have spare time tonight. I feel quite good. Is that okay, dear saints? One more thing, while I 1 or 2 minutes, you know, still the this incense, Golden Incense Altar, is the center and the motivator, the engine that activates and make effective all the other parts of the tabernacle. You can say, in a way, the tabernacle portrays our church life today. All right? It is the the tabernacle of the testimony, because Christ is there. And and Christ is not only there, Christ is there in all these aspects, the bronze altar of the burnt offering, the bronze laver, the face bread and the face bread table, lampstand, golden lampstand, this incense altar, the ark with all the boards, all the curtain, the screen, the veil, so many, golden sockets and clasps and so many things. All these are aspects of this Christ. But this tabernacle is simply the embodiment of God on the earth for his move. And firstly, this tabernacle is Christ, the individual Christ. Now this Christ, through death and resurrection, has been enlarged, and therefore this tabernacle also typifies the church. More practically, this is our church life. Today, we're living a tabernacle life, right? A church life in different localities. And all these furniture needs to be activated, or else it's just sitting there, pretty, but useless. How are they activated? By prayer. By prayer. And tonight I would use not only activate, I use this word vitalized. Every piece of furniture need to be vitalized. But how will they be vitalized? By the center, you know, by the center. And Brother Lee say, the ark is the focus. That is like Washington, D.C. But he said the Golden Incense Altar is the White House. Do you follow me? This is where the executive decisions are made. This is the location of the center of the executive branch of the government. So this place is what activates everything. So a brother was reminded that the same case we see in Ephesians chapter 6, where you have a full armor of God, you know, you have the loins girded with the truth, am I right? You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You have the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. You have the helmet of salvation. You have the shield of faith. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. All these things. And at the end it says, by means of all prayer. Of course, specifically, that related to the wielding of the sword, the word of God by means of all prayer. But broadly speaking, actually, you can apply that to the entire armor. That means it is by prayer that truth will be activated. By prayer, the gospel of peace, the foundation of peace will be activated. By prayer, that the faith shield will be activated. By prayer, the breastplate to cover our conscience will be activated. By prayer, the sword will be wielded offensively. So that is a good reminder. Is same concept with in Exodus. So brothers and sisters, again may I say, these days continue to pray. Continue to be schooled in prayer. Continue to be disciplined, to learn, to improve in your prayer life. The more we pray, the more we would know how to pray. This coming, we're hoping that this Friday night or late Friday, we will, the new website called beseeching.org will go live for all of you to sign up to pray with your companions. There's no prayer slot. You just sign up. You need to put in your email. Then starting Monday, daily, you will receive a prayer burden for your prayer, with a prayer burden and with a complimentary excerpt from the ministry to correspond to that prayer burden on a daily basis. And this new website is not international. It is just for our use here in North America and especially in the United States, the churches and the saints. Please, I encourage you, use this website and to continue to build up your prayer life. May the golden incense altar be constantly active in every local church as the center of our church life. I stop here. Terry, amen.